should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so everybody went to their hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. "What the heck is that?" said the shepherds. Tom, Dick, and Henrietta, for they were equal opportunity shepherds, looked at each other. "Have you ever seen anything like that before?" they asked, and they all agreed that they most certainly hadn't. "Excuse me," said the angel. "I'm not just here to provide lighting, I've got news." "Who are you?" asked Tom. "I'm an angel," said the angel. "I'm a messenger from God, and God has given me a message to tell you." "I'm sorry that they're so rude," said Henrietta. "Please, tell us the message." "Well, the message I have for you," said the angel, is good news. In fact, it's good news that should bring you three and everyone great joy, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." "A what's been born to who and he's where?" asked Dick. The angel sighed angelically. "Do you people not read your Bibles? In the town that King David was from, that's Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. That's someone who's going to save you. That's what a Savior does. He saves. And this Savior is none other than the Christ, the Messiah, God's King, whom God has promised since the beginning of the world to lead and rule his people." "See, so one person has been born tonight," the angel said, "who is both your Savior and your King. Do you get it?" "Oh," said Tom, "that's good. But I'm not really into organized religion. I'm sure it's great news for people who are into that kind of stuff, but, well, for me, angel, I find God out here on the hillside. I'm close to him in the silence and the solitude of the land. I guess, angel, you could say I'm more into spirituality than religion." The angel thought about this and he looked around, and quite despite the fact that he, as an angel, was the most glorious being that anybody had ever seen, the angel had to admit that the land was pretty amazing. It was vast and beautiful, and there was the intricacy of creation and the majesty of the mountains, and it really was something to behold. "I see what you mean," said the angel. "And I agree with you that you can see aspects of what God is like from what he's made. But," the angel carried on, "God's doing something much more specific now. And that's why I'm here. See, he's doing something for your benefit that he wants you to know about. And he wants you to hear about it and respond to him and to benefit from this very specific thing that he's doing." "Yeah," said Tom, "that's kind of where I have the problem. I don't like being told that I should believe certain things. I feel that God just wants us to enjoy the world he's made and kind of get on with life." "Oh," said the angel, "I thought you said you weren't into organized religion." "What do you mean?" asked Tom. "Well," said the angel, "it sounds like you are into organized religion. It's just that your religion is the one that you've organized. You see, you've decided what God will be like, and you've decided how you'll respond to him, and you've decided what he wants from you. It all sounds pretty organized to me." Well, stammered Tom. "And if I may be so bold," the angel continued, "it also sounds quite disrespectful. You see, it sounds like you've decided who God is and what he's like, And you've decided what he wants from you, but you haven't actually bothered to listen to him and hear what he says about who he is and what he's like. You haven't listened to what he says that he wants from you. But the great thing, the angel said, is that news I've got for you is going to solve your problem, Tom. You see, God has been born as a human. So when you see this person doing things, when you hear him and listen to him speak, you will be seeing and hearing God. You'll know exactly who he is and what he's like, and you'll know how to treat him because he'll tell you. Tom wasn't all that keen, really, on being shown up like this, especially in front of his friends, but he did have to admit that the angel's point made sense. Right, said the angel. So, back to the news. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Oh, sighed Henrietta. I'm sure it's very important news, angel, but I was wondering if you might come back a little bit later, please. The angel wasn't really used to people responding to hearing God's word like that. He was a little bit stunned. You see, said Henrietta, this is a really bad time. You just won't believe how busy Christmas is, angel. And we're on holiday until late January, a bit of me time, and then the kids will be back at school, and then the sport and drama, and I've got to catch up with some friends, and the garden's a mess, and I've got to spend some time there, and I haven't seen my sister in just forever, and you know, I'm just so busy. Could I maybe deal with this news a little bit later, do you think? You see, Henrietta went on, just as the angel was about to speak, but couldn't get a word in edgewise. You see, this stage of life is really just so busy. You wouldn't know, you're an angel. But later on, when the kids are growing up, then I'll look into it. Then I'll come along and investigate this baby who, you know, will probably be a grown man by then. I know it's important, angel. And it's not that I'm not interested, it's just that I'll do it later. Right, said the angel. Is that later, like you've been planning on going to the gym later? And spending more time with your difficult in-laws later? And all those other things that you say you'll do later, but you never seem to get around to doing? Henrietta realized that she was planning on doing rather a lot of things later. And if she was really honest with herself, saying that she'd do things later was just a way of saying that she didn't want to do them. There will always be busyness, the angel said. The question you've got to answer is whether or not this news is important enough to put the immediate and the day-to-day aside just for a little while to find out about it. Because, you know, the urgent is always the enemy of the important. Oh, angel, said Dick, with a knowing grin on his face. You've got a tough job here, haven't you? Listen to these excuses. Listen to these two trying to weasel their way out of dealing with this news that you've brought us. Angel, I'm not going to muck you around. Let me speak to you man to man. Let me level with you. The angel turned and looked at Dick with eyes that burnt like fire. And he drew himself up to his full height until his presence absolutely dwarfed Dick. And Dick wondered if maybe he'd been a little too flippant with a creature who could not only light up the night sky as though it were the middle of the day and who could appear and disappear at will, but who also carried a message directly from God himself. What I was meaning, angel, sir, stammered Dick, is that I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm not interested. There might be something in it, angel, but it's not for me. This is how it is. God can do his thing, and I'll do my thing, and we'll just kind of leave each other alone. I'm not going to take it any further, sir. Is that right, Dick? The angel said. God can do his thing, and you'll do yours, and you're not interested in him. Well, can I applaud your honesty, Dick? Although you must admit you're being slightly two-faced about it, aren't you? Dick realized this probably wasn't going to end well for him. So, said the angel. You're happy to take what God has provided you with, these sheep to care for and earn a living off, your family and your friends to enjoy. You'll accept God's care and his provision throughout your life. But when he tells you that he has done something so amazing that it will bring you and the entire world great joy, you're going to say, I'm not interested. Dick hadn't really thought of it that way before. And more than that, Dick, the angel continued, it's not quite right to say that you leave each other alone, is it? I mean, God continues to provide you with everything you have, so he hasn't left you alone. And I know, Dick, that even you ask him for help when you get in trouble. You plead with him when your children get sick, when the bills pile up. You don't leave God alone, Dick. You just want God to give you what you want and then get out of your life. The angel looked at the three shepherds. I wonder if I might make an observation. It seems to me that while you've given a reason or an explanation or an excuse for why you don't want to hear this news, why you don't want God to speak to you, I think there's actually something else underlying those things. I wonder, said the angel, whether the issue really is that when you hear this news, and if you respond to this news, you know that your life will have to change. And you don't really want that to happen. See, if this Jesus, who I'm telling you about, is indeed the Savior and the Lord, then responding to him would, first of all, mean admitting that you need saving. It would mean admitting that there are things in your life, attitudes that you have and actions that you perform that aren't right. They're things that you need to be forgiven for. And you need to confess that you're not quite as nice and good and kind as you would like others to believe that you are. You'd have to be honest with God and honest with your friends and family. You'd have to be honest with yourself. Tom, Dick, and Henrietta realized that the angel was right. I mean, none of them were that bad, but all of them had things in their lives that they were ashamed of, things that they'd done which God wouldn't be pleased with. In fact, said the angel, even the things that you've said this evening, the way you've tried to avoid hearing God speak and avoid paying him any attention, you'd need to be forgiven even for that. And the reason that my news is so good, said the angel, is that Jesus is going to do exactly that. He's going to live such a life, a perfect life, the sort of life that you're meant to live but can't. And then he's going to die such a death which will pay for all your failures, cover over all your faults, so that you might be saved from them. He is going to die, pay the cost for your wrongdoing, so that you might be forgiven. The three shepherds looked up. Maybe this news was far more personal and far more positive than they had originally thought. The angel went on. But the other thing is that as well as being the Savior, this Jesus is the Lord. He's God's King. He's God's ruler. And to acknowledge him as such would mean that your lives would change. Yes, he would forgive you for all of your failures. And then he would direct how you should live your life. How you think about your work and your family and your time and your future. But this is good news, said the angel. God has come to forgive your failures and to lead and guide you in life that you might live life as he has made it to be lived. And what he wants is for you to hear about the great thing that he has done and to respond to his King, to his Savior, to respond to Jesus by trusting that he has come to die for your forgiveness and to then obey him in how you live your life. So shall we try it again? The angel said. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. My brothers and sisters here, how will you respond to the news about Jesus this Christmas? Let me pray. Almighty Lord, we thank you for telling us what you have done. We thank you for the angels who proclaimed such glorious news, for the shepherds who heard and who did respond rightly, going to Jesus, declaring to others who he was. Lord, in our busyness and our selfishness and our ambivalence, draw us closer to Jesus. May we marvel at what he has done for us and rejoice in loving and serving him, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Friends, if you'd like to remain in an attitude of prayer, Phil is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let's continue to pray. Our loving Father God, we thank you that you have provided your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our Saviour, Redeemer, and Lord. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This Christmas, we want to thank you, Father God, for bringing us peace with you through the Prince of Peace, Jesus. We remember the angels who proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." We rejoice that the shepherds received and believed the proclamation of the angels that day long ago, and that we too today can receive and believe the same message of peace that the angels proclaimed, that through Christ we can receive forgiveness, be washed clean, and have peace with our Creator forevermore. Lord God, this Christmas day, we praise you and we thank you for your great love for us, your amazing love revealed to us in your Son, Jesus. This Christmas, Lord, we also pray for those people we know who find Christmas time a particularly difficult time of the year. Maybe family